You've seen some stories of people's lives that have been taken by something or other. Taken in, robbed. The language that was used in some of the stories of people that we heard. And I'm sure you could tell us another few stories. The movie that we see in, and the story of the movie is a man that is a CIA agent, Liam Neeson, good Irish man. His daughter wanted to go away to Paris. She gets there. She tells him a bit of a lie, and she's really traveling around Europe to go and see U2. And she gets over there. She meets a nice-looking guy. Her and her friend meets a nice-looking guy, a French guy. Speaks to them, wee-wee, at the airport. Takes her in, gets in the... He says, hey, let's share a taxi to get in. He finds out where they live. He invites them to a party afterwards, really getting into the psyche of young girls abroad on their own. And that evening, you've seen it, these other men came, broke into the apartment, and they were taken. And Liam Neeson says on the phone, because the phone is underneath the bed. And you've seen the bit where she thinks they're actually gone. And she thinks they're after walking out the door. And next minute you see her being dragged, taken by force out of the place of security and safety. And Liam Neeson plays, he picks up the phone, the baddie picks up the phone. And Liam Neeson says something like, I forget them. No, wait for the force me. He says, in my line of work, I've acquired a lot of skills. Something like, I'm paraphrasing now. I've acquired a lot of skills. I will find you, and I will kill you. You never touch an Irish man's daughter. If you turn... Can I have a few amens from the fathers? Tremendous story, but not original. I want you to open your Bibles to Genesis. The very beginning book in the Bible. Genesis means beginnings. You find in Genesis where God created the heavens and the earth. It's in Genesis where you find the power of God, Him speaking and things appearing. Not by Hollywood's special effects team, but the reality of the power of God. And in this part of the scriptures, you find that God looks around at all He's created and He says, it's very good. I love what I have created. But there was something missing. He says, I'm going to make man. And this is where we pick it up in chapter 2 and verse 7. Now it says, the Lord God formed man out of dust from the ground. Can you imagine this God speaking stars into being? Painting the galaxies with absolutely untold magnificence. Brilliance of light, splendor of planets and the universe. He looks and creates... The fish in the sea, the plants of the earth, pushes mountains over there, thinks, oh no, we make this over there. He says, no, there's something missing. I want to make someone in our likeness. I want to make somebody that is like me. I want to make someone that can think, can reason, can feel, can love, can be loved. Man, where did he ever come up with the idea of shaping us like he shaped us? And can you imagine God getting down into the dust and taking dust from the ground and forming a shape, forming man. And it says that he formed man. And after forming him, it says, he bent and breathed his life into the dust, into the form that he made. God... You can imagine, man, I think because of God's perfection, he didn't get up gingerly. He stood upright. Man, you can imagine him looking around and God says, see all of this? I made it for you, Adam. You can rule. You can reign. You can, he says this, He plays man, whom he had formed out of the ground. He placed him in a garden that he made. And everything, every tree, every fish, everything that was there, everything that flowed in the river, he said, Adam, this is your garden, and you can have dominion over it all. You can rule and reign over it all. This is yours, Adam. And you know, he wasn't complete, because he wasn't complete till Eve was made. See, Adam was the crown of creation, but Eve was the jewel, right in the middle of the crown. He says, Adam, I'm someone else for you. Put him to sleep. Boom. Maybe put his hand in his head or something. Put him into a deep sleep. Huh? Stronghold. Or sleep a hold, yeah, the wrestling move. He takes from Adam's side a rib. And he forms Eve. And I know you think this might be corny, but when he woke up and he seen Eve, Adam, he was a bit gingerly after that one, eventually after losing a rib. He sees Eve and he goes, wow, man. Wow, man. Let's call her, wow, man. Let's call her woman. Shorten her down. Yeah. And God made him give him dominion. They lived there, walked with God, talked with God. Guys, can you imagine? Because we can't really. But as much as our little minds can conjure up, imagine perfection. Imagine no death, no sickness. Imagine, because there's no death in heaven and in the garden. Imagine when you walk on grass, it doesn't die. It just springs back up to life. Imagine nothing dying. Teeming with life. Imagine having no ailments. Imagine having the perfect body. I don't know. Sounded good. Don't ask me why I done that when I done it. Imagine looking in the mirror and going, man, I'm good looking. You know. Oh, well, not in the mirror. They were probably looking in the perfect reflection of a perfect river that knows no death or no stagnation. That's hard for us. Imagine, this is what it says. God would come down in the cool of the evening. My favorite part of the day is the cool of the evening. 6:30, walk around Granton Street. It's the most beautiful place at 6:30. Just when dusk is setting in, sun is, it's just magnificent. See in your back garden, because I think that's God's favorite time of the day. That's when he used to come and visit Adam anyway. And God would come down, and I said to Sharon this morning, what do you think God and Adam and Eve talked about? There was no bad news. Do you know what I mean? There was no, see a woman over in your garden. It was nothing. It was just perfect union. Perfect intimacy. No negatives whatsoever. Wouldn't you think, my goodness, what would you ask God? God would come. No distractions. No have to go to a doctor's visit. No have to put out some type of a relationship fire somewhere. This is the life. And Adam looking over all creation. God has given this to me. I live in dominion. I live in rule. I live in freedom. Then you jump over into chapter 3. You will be taken, Adam. You will be taken. And it says now in chapter 3, the serpent was more crafty than all the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Indeed, God has said, you shall eat. God says to them, right? Guys, because he wants to give free will. He wants to give choice. He says, all of this is yours. There's a tree of the knowledge of the good and evil and the tree of life. Don't eat off the one of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't go near it. Now, we could have made them robots and programmed them to love him and to obey him. But what type of love is that? That's freaky, weird love. Controlling people to love us. Man, if that's in your life, get help. That's not love. But God had to give us that freedom. He says, look at guys, touch whatever you want. It's all yours. The tree stays on its own. And then the snake came, which in Revelations in the Bible says it's the devil. And he said, has God really, really said, you cannot touch the tree? He says to Eve. The woman says, he said, you shall not eat from any, from the tree in the garden. The woman says to the serpent, from the fruit of the tree of the garden we may eat, but not from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden. God said, don't eat it, for if you touch it, you will surely die. The serpent says to the woman, you will surely die. God's trying to control you. For God knows that in that day, if you eat of the tree, it will open your eyes and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to her eyes and that the tree was desirable to make her wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she also gave fruit to her husband who ate it with her. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they saw that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. They covered themselves. They heard the sound of God coming, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God. They hid themselves amongst the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called out to man, where are you? Adam said, I heard the sound of you in the garden and I was afraid. So fear and shame had entered into this paradise. He said, I was ashamed because I was naked. So I hid from you. And God said to them, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, yet the woman, he blames the woman. Come on. He says, see that woman you gave me? Adam was saying, it's not my fault, it's between you and her. Sought her out, Lord, I didn't ask for her. You put me to sleep. Took me rib, you made her. Not my fault. Man's been doing that ever since. Blaming someone else. And anyway, he said, like that. So I hid myself. Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of command? You know, the woman you gave me, she gave me from the tree and I ate. She needed a hero. She needed Adam to say, sit down, honey, I'm calling God. She didn't get a hero, she got a zero. It was Adam's opportunity. Woman, I'm going to show you the man I am. Instead, she nagged him into eating and he gave in. And he said, and the woman said, it wasn't me, the serpent deceived me. So now the other blame game came into the garden. It wasn't me, it was between you two. She goes, they looked at her, at Eve, sorry, and she goes, it wasn't me, it was the snake, and he hadn't got a leg to stand on. Someone said it wasn't the apple in the tree, it was the pear in the garden. The Lord said to the serpent, and he cursed the serpent. Paradise lost, as Milton says. Paradise gone. Perfection now gone. They had eaten from what they were told not to eat. Sin, destruction, shame, fear, guilt, hiding away from God came in the moment of disobedience. It doesn't even say it was an apple. It just says it was fruit of a tree. But their disobedience, and God says, he spoke to the snake, the devil, and he says, there's going to be a seed that's going to come from this woman. And that seed is, you're going to bite his ankle, but he's going to crush your head. And I'll tell you who that was in a few minutes. And he said, Eve, you're going to know what a labor pain is like, honey. Because that's what came in. When we all get to heaven, all the ladies be lining up beside Eve. And all the men be going to Adam. He says, Adam, you're going to work hard now. The dominion that he had, he gave it away by his act of disobedience. The rule and reign that he had was taken from him because of his disobedience. The freedom that he had was now taken from him. God says, because of what you've done out of the garden, because he couldn't let him eat off the tree of life. And there's a theory or two behind that one that we won't go into this morning. So he banishes him from the garden. Man was put outside of God's presence the way he had known it. He put an angel in front of the gates of the garden with a flaming sword, meaning you can't come back here. Can you imagine the depression that hit Adam? Can you imagine the depression that hit into Eve's life and mind and psyche? Even their four sons that were born to them, one of them was a murderer. How do you go from being a happy couple in the garden of perfection, knowing God, walking with God, and then going to your first kid as a murderer? They were taken in by deception from the devil. They were taken out by wanting to be their own God. A young woman I read about, she went off and left her husband and three kids and went off with another man. It wasn't long after being with the other man that he decided he wanted another woman and he put her out. Now she had no man here and she had no family or kids there. She booked herself into a big hotel. She got a gun and she blew her head off. She left a note saying, "Don't weep or cry over me. I'm less than a human being because of what I've done." Amazingly, it says in the report, in the same hotel, a couple of floors down, there was a New Age conference. And in the New Age conference, there was hundreds of people standing around chanting these words, "I am God, I am God, I am God." See, the result of the garden is, and the fall and them being taken out of the garden, because all of us, you know who Eve was? All of our mothers. That's where we all came from. Do you know who Adam was? All of our fathers. And we've all inherited that same disobedient nature from mommy and daddy. We've all inherited it. You never had to be taught how to do wrong, did you? It just comes naturally. It's called the sinful nature in the Bible. It's that nature that you want to do what God wants you to do, but you do all the opposite. That's the nature of Adam. So you're either going to think by the result of this fall, "I'm no good, I'm useless, I'm unwanted, I'm not accepted, I'm probably less than human." Or you're going to think, "I am God. I am the master of my own destiny. I will chart on my own course. When I die, I don't believe there's a heaven. I don't believe we're going to stand before God." Doesn't matter what you believe, that still doesn't make it a truth. According to the Bible, we will all stand before God. They were taken out by deception. They were taken out off the ground of peace. Taken off the ground of blessing. Taken off the ground of joy and hope and fellowship and intimacy with God. You could nearly see like that picture that we seen earlier on and taken. That it's nearly like they were walking along, singing along, simply do that. "I love God, I love this." And then, boom! I bet you they got outside that garden and went, "What in the world was all that about?" You could imagine them on the God punting them out. He took no delight in punting them out. But he had to kick off the plan of redemption. Of how to get us back in. But I tell you what, I know why God put the angel there. Because if it was me, I would have been running against that gate. I want to go back in. I want to get back into that place where I've known God, but I've been taken out. I've been taken off the ground. The image of God now being marred. The image of God now left with people thinking, "I am God," or "I'm nothing." The temptation was doubt God. Get taken in. God doesn't want really you to know all things. But God is in heaven and he said to the devil that time, he says, "I'm going to send somebody. In fact, I'm going to come myself to rescue them. They're my children. I created them in Adam and Eve. And their children and their children, all the generations." And in John 3:16 it says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And all through the centuries, when you read the Old Testament, a lot of things make sense when you know this. That the seed which was going to be Jesus all those years later, that was coming through the generations, he had a line, a lineage of people that God, Jesus was going to come through. And when you see mad things in the Old Testament, what you have to keep on asking, who was carrying the seed that was going to become Jesus? If it was Isaac, why did he bless him carrying the seed? If it was Jacob, why did he bless him carrying the seed? Why did he bless King David's lineage carrying the seed? All the times he wiped out hordes of armies because of the seed that was going to become Jesus. And he says, I'm going to send one. You're going to bite his heel, but he's going to come and rescue mankind. And Jesus came. And you move into the Gospels. And you see Jesus, born a babe, fully man and fully God. He put aside some of his majesty, some of his power, to come to earth to rescue us. And there was glimpses of it. A man comes, a beggar. Jesus looks and he looks at, that was the result of Adam and Eve in the garden. A blind man comes and Jesus looks, that's the result of the man in the garden, Adam. And he says, be healed. Open your eyes again. Yes. Hungry people, broken people, people that were outcasts, people that were lepers. He looked at them and he goes, hey, come on, I'll heal you and feed you. He was giving them a glimpse of what it was like being back in the garden again. He says to them, someone says, Jesus, show us the Father. And Jesus says, look, if you know me, you know my Father. Me and him are exactly the same. He was giving them a glimpse of what it was like to walk with the Father in the garden. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane getting ready to do the greatest rescue act that you'd ever imagine. He was going to die on my behalf, on your behalf. The debt that Adam incurred on us, he says, I'm going to take all of it. He was in the garden with the disciples. Little did they know that he was going to undo in that Garden of Gethsemane what Adam and Eve had done in the Garden of Eden. And the guy just fell asleep. They didn't get it. But he came. And one of the times the devil came to him. He was in the desert 40 days, 40 nights. There was this battle of temptation. You know what the problem is with temptation? It's so tempting. Isn't it? It's like it doesn't come and give you, if you hate turnips and the devil goes, you won't go and eat turnips. It's always turnips coated with candy chocolate. It's covered. Go on, this will meet your sweet tooth. This will satisfy you. Go on, just one. It'll meet the need in you. And you bite into it. You think, yeah, it tastes good. And then inside of it, smelly turnips. You know what I mean? Here, go on. Just do that. I know you know it's wrong, but it will do something inside for you. And you do it. You feel awful. Feel like Eve and Adam in the garden again. I'm after letting God down, letting myself down. When Jesus was in the desert, the devil says, do you want power? I'll give it to you. Do you want authority? Do you want all the dominion? Because it was given to me by Adam in the garden. He said, I'll give it to you. You don't have to go to the cross. You don't have to suffer, Jesus. You don't have to pay the price. I will give it to you. And Jesus says, no, I'm going to do what my Father asked me to do. I'm going to go all the way. Yeah, it's going to be painful. Yeah, I'm going to take the sins of the world, but I'm going to rescue all who would believe in me, all who would put their trust in me. I'm going to bring them into the place where they can know God again, have intimacy with God again. Those who are taken by all types of things in their lives, I can come into their lives and restore what has been robbed on them that Sharon already talked about earlier on. There's a promise that Sharon read earlier on. This is what it says. Let me tell you what it says in Corinthians. That in Adam, it says, we've all died. That there's something dead inside of us that we don't know God and don't want to know God. But in Christ, it says, you come alive. I just thinking, and the New Testament, I don't want to get too technical, but in the New Testament, it calls Jesus the second Adam. So it says, through the first Adam, sin and death and all that stuff came. But in the second Adam, you can have all the life that was in the garden. And you get a lot of it here, and it's fully perfect when we get there. And I have this question for us. Which Adam do we want to be in? Depressed Adam, full of bitterness, sickness, disease, shame, guilt, fear. Or get into this second Adam, which is Jesus, which he says, I will restore. I will heal. See the fear you had? I will make you fearless. See the depression? I can give you a joy that doesn't depend on anything in this world. And the choice is like, Adam or Jesus. And sometimes the old Adam, that is in us all, rebels against the new Adam. But when you put your trust and you do the things that he wants you to do, the old Adam lessens his power. And I'm going to quickly move on. Are you still with me? So the people of God had turned away and followed all types of idols. And the prophet Joel came out. And he says, look, if you turn to God, he will restore all your land. This is what he says to them. The years that the locust is eating on you. Do you ever see a locust storm type of thing on the geographic channels? They leave nothing behind. They're absolutely the most destructive things you'd ever imagine. And they come in like in a storm of millions. And they come into fields and barns. They eat doors. They eat doors off barns. They're the most incredible destructive thing. And the picture that's being painted, God says, if you turn to me, I will repay you for all of the years that those locusts have eaten on you. I will give you plenty to eat. See the way the locusts robbed your food? I'll give you plenty to eat. I will work wonders on your behalf. Never again will you be a people of shame, he says. Then you will know that I am God, and that there is no other beside me, and never again will my people know shame. And afterward, he says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men and your young men will have dreams and visions. Even on men and women, I will pour out my spirit. When Adam and Eve's spirit died, Jesus came back. In this prophecy, he was saying, when Jesus comes, he will pour out his spirit on all flesh. And Jesus comes, and he walks through a wall after rising from the dead, and he says to the disciples, receive the Spirit of God. The exact same thing his father done in the garden. Here was all the disciples, thought he was gone. Jesus got being crucified. It's the end of the road. Jesus walks through the wall. He says, I know your spirit is down. I know your spirit is dead. There's new life. He promises he will restore. He promises that he will give back. He promises that those who have been taken, that he has come to take them back. He's come to give them joy. He's come to give us hope and peace and freedom and destiny and plan and purpose and liberty and influence and creativity and dominion and relationship and intimacy. He says, I've come, I'll restore your family. I'll restore your youth. I'll restore your health. I will restore. He says, I've come for these things. What was taken in the garden, I have come so that you will have it back again. And God said to Adam, the devil says you'll be like God, and the first thing he felt was shame. I'm in the nip. I know you're laughing at Eve. You're naked as well. Oh. They were ashamed. They were ashamed. They're walking around naked, no shame. Sin comes in and all of a sudden we're full of shame about who we are and what we are and what God made. I hate this. I'm going to cover it up. It's right that we cover it up in our society. And God comes and says, who told you you were naked? Who's told you this? Who told you God doesn't love you? Who told you God doesn't like you? Who told you you're not accepted by him? Who told you you've done something unforgivable? Who told you you're no good? Who told you you'll never be free? Who told you there's no joy beyond the things of this world? Who told you them lies? Who told you you'll never be accepted? Who told you that? Adam, who told you this? Was it me? No, it was the snake. Who told you there's no God? Who told you there's no heaven and no hell? Who told you you can't get free from your addiction? God doesn't tell us. Who told you you're not beautiful? Who told you you'll never be wanted by anyone? Who tells us these tripe? Jesus says, I've come so that you will know freedom, healing, forgiveness, mercy, acceptance, belonging. Amen. He's come to take back what has been taken. He's come. You may have been taken kicking and screaming. But he comes and he says, hey, I'm gentle and humble in heart. You may have been taken with abusive stuff, with foul language. And Jesus says, hey, come to me. I'm loving, I accept you, and yet I'm powerful and strong. When Adam was in the garden and he wasn't a hero for Eve, I keep saying Eve. When the hero wasn't there for Eve, the second Adam comes. And if you need a hero, he's present today. I was listening to Bonnie Tyler on the way down. I need a hero. Great song. I never knew it was so much of a good song. I'm holding on for the hero to the end of the night. If you need a hero, Jesus is saying, I will be your hero, baby. I will be him for you. I'll come in. And all it is, guys, 20 years ago, I said, Jesus, I trust you. I need a hero. I don't understand everything. I need someone to rescue me. I was 22 years of age. I felt I was 80. But I felt I was 800. There's such a word. And that night, I just said, Jesus, please forgive me of everything I've done wrong. No one needed to convince me I've done wrong. I don't want to be, I am God, I am God. I was more like the woman in the hotel. Is there any meaning to this life? Is there anything else out there? But Jesus, I don't want to be my own God because I make a mess of things. And I don't want to feel this way. So therefore, I'm told that you'll give me new life. I put my trust in you. Forgive me, I put my trust in you. And I didn't see flashes of lightning. But I'll tell you what I did know. I never read a Bible before in my life. I knew this, that everything I'd done wrong, everything I was ashamed of, I was forgiven. If you would have asked me to try to prove it to you outside that National Stadium, I couldn't have. But I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew. Something in there was stronger than anything else outside. And from that moment on, I started to live. I was dying. Last week, we were with Sharon's dad in Disneyland, 71 years of age. Last June, he was supposed to die. Sharon came back from America, where we were on holidays, to turn off the machine for her dad to die. She prayed, this year we're in Disneyland. Only God. I says to him, I have him in a wheelchair. I says, Freddie, do you want to go up the Hollywood Tower of Horrors? She says, are you trying to kill me? I says, no, Freddie, I'm trying to get you to live. I'm trying to get you to feel the adrenaline of living. The adrenaline of, I'm terrified, but I love it. What am I doing singing this crazy thing? But it's great. We got into this machine, me and Sharon. I convinced her to get in. She's reading the things. If you have back trouble, heartache, blood pressure. She's no lie of all of them. Don't believe them signs, honey. Two of her sits in this. We get in, truly, it goes to not the 60 in a second. We're sitting there. Next minute, it was like a rock and roll thing. Let's get ready to rock! It was unbelievable. I thought my tonsils were going to fall out. I was laughing so hard out of living. I was terrified, but I was really alive. You might be fearful. You might, well, I give my life to Jesus. Feel it and give it to him anyway. Amen. Last thing. This is for all of you. I know we visitors and you're very welcome. Here's my extension to you this morning. Make a decision. Honey, someone says to me, Noel, what if it's all wrong when you die? I says, you know what, if it is, I've lived the most marvelous life you could ever imagine. I've lived a life of peace and hope and purpose. I've been able to give to people anything beyond that I could ever have imagined or think. I've been able to sit. I've been privileged to sit with people when they're living and when they're dying. I've had a great life. But it is true. And I live forever. And if you think that not the 60 was good, wait till we get to there. Which Adam? Here's one for those of us. Some of us have been taken from our station. Some of us Christians, we've been taken from our stations. walking with God, running with God, standing for God, believing for God. We've been on ground where we've known God's purposes and blessings. And there's lots of obvious things that we could say, well, I've been taken from the ground of by materialism, pride, self-centeredness, laziness, bitterness, sexual lust, envy, gluttony, lying. We could tell loads, but the Lord said to me to tell to you. He's not talking about the obvious big things that take us off ground, but the little things that just shifts us to the side. Just the little things. Could be a better job, but takes you out of the purposes of God. It could be boyfriend who's gorgeous. Just a little bit. Just a little bit off the ground. You've left your station. You've stopped praying. You got just moved a little bit. You stopped being committed. Just a little bit. I just got moved a little bit, but everything's passing you by. You see people running on with God, and you're like, what's after happening? Get back onto your ground. Keep your ground. Hold your ground. Stand your ground. I was playing squash the other night with Terrence Dunn. If I don't beat him in 6 weeks, I'm breaking his legs. Sorry, Carol. It's Carol's son. That guy, he playing squash, and I'm running around like a headless chicken after the ball. And he's standing in the middle of the court. And he had this shot that he kept getting me with. He stepped like this and he done that. And I thought I was going to lash off the wall and just tip off the wall and fall to the ground. I was calling it a samurai shot. It was like he was stabbing it. And I was like, how are you doing this to me? And he says, Noel, see that little, there's a box, and in the box there's a tee. And he says, see that box? When I serve, my first thing is to get into the tee of the box. He says, why? He says, nothing I don't control. You're running behind me everywhere, but every time you hit the ball, I can see where it is. So my goal is get him off his spot. And you can't tackle in this game, but I'm sure I was tempted. See if I can just get him off the spot a little bit. I can hit the ball all there that he can't fully reach. And it's amazing where God will learn you a lesson. You've moved off your spot. Get back into control. Get back onto the bar, the tee, so that everything the enemy is throwing at you, you can control it. But see, when you're moved off a little bit, it doesn't take much. The enemy will keep hitting you that side. Get your ground. Stand your ground. Hold your ground. It's your ground. You're believing for healing for your kids. Stand on the ground. You're believing for healing for your life. Stand on the ground. It's an ascended ground. It's a place of ascendancy. I was there and there and there. And when we're not on our ground, the enemy is hitting us. Throwing lies at us, curveball at us, little samurai shots at us. And we're running around everywhere. I'll get the answer here. I'll get the answer there. I'll get the answer there. Stand your ground. Lord, I'm standing in the promise you gave me. Jesus came to take back all that was stolen. Get back onto the prayer ground, guys. Get back into being committed. Get back into being a warrior in the tribe of liberty. Stop hanging on the side. If God is in it, you know who I'm talking to. Father, we love you. Worship team, please come back. Worship team, you were excellent earlier on. Trish, you led superbly, honey. Could we stand? Next week's film is Transformers. And we'll hear how these stories have been transformed that we heard this morning. Someone taken by addiction and how it was destructive in relationships. Someone's health taken. The prime of just after being married, we can imagine. Please take some invitations that are available downstairs and invite a friend. This whole series is about us and not about us. The whole series is like each card that you give is like a seed. And if we sow today, we'll reap in the winter. You want to see our loved one saved? You want to see our loved one coming into the place of the garden where Adam and Eve was? They're waiting on your invitation. The workmate is waiting. They're just waiting on us. Who wouldn't want to wait? Who wouldn't be waiting on us to bring them into freedom? We're going to finish with this song. And before we do, if we could just close our eyes. Not to get us a bit freaky or anything, but just to give you privacy. Just cutting everyone else out, zoning in. This is me. And somehow, no, things made sense. Or they didn't, and I'll ask you a question. but something was coming alive in me. I didn't know. I don't know who told me I wasn't accepted by God or I couldn't be forgiven. I don't know who told me I couldn't know God intimately the way Adam and Eve knew Him. I didn't know. That's why Jesus came, to take our sins. It was to take us back into that relationship. And I realize now that I've been given some information that I may need to process over this time of the day. Of which one do I want to be in? The old Adam or the second Adam, which was Jesus? That one has death and the other has life. One has been dead to God and the other has been alive to God. I know which one I chose. And I invite you to choose Jesus. Don't be taken in by the lies and deceptions. He will show you the truth because He is the truth. Don't be taken in by the philosophies of this world without questions. You can ask Jesus a question, He'll answer you. You can seek Him, you'll find Him. You can knock and He'll open the door for you. But maybe your time this morning is, I want to actually give my life, like the Kim in the cafe. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to be in this Adam. I want things to be taken back that was robbed or stolen. I want to be taken in by Jesus. I want to be taken into the throne before the Father and Him saying, Father, another one's come home. Father, another one has come home. The angel has been removed from the garden. And another one has come home. With every eye closed, you may want to say, you know what, no, I want to come home. Just put up your hand and pull it back down and say, no, I want to be one of them. I want to come home. I see your hand. Thank you. Thank you. I want to come home. Jesus, take me right in. I see your hand. Thank you. I don't want to be on the outside. I want to be on the inside, man. Thank you. Jesus, you know when I come home, will you restore to me some of the things that have been robbed? I need healing in my body right now. Jesus, I ask you to restore. I ask you to restore my sanity. I ask you to restore to me the freedom that I knew. Or the freedom I've never known. So here I am, Jesus, hand up and hand down. This is me, Jesus. And this is the simplest prayer that you could pray. But if you mean it with all your heart, my goodness, it's the most amazing prayer you'll ever pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came to rescue me, to restore me to the right relationship with God my Father. Jesus, I'm coming home. Forgive me of my sin. Take me in. I thank you that you died on the cross for me to take my sin so that I could take on your new life. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray right now that you would fill each one with the Holy Spirit, Lord. That as you breathed on them, Father, as you breathed on Adam in the garden, that you would breathe upon us afresh. Jesus, as you breathed on the disciples when you rose from the dead, that you would breathe your life into us, that people would feel burdens, pains, aches, gone in the name of Jesus. Now the other category, you've been taken out of your station. You've been taken away from your first love, whatever term you want to put on it, but you've been taken in, slightly moved. And that doesn't mean if you've been moved far, it doesn't exclude you. But just come back into alignment. I'm taking the ground. I'm taking the higher ground right now. I'm taking the higher ground. I'm not going to listen. I can't come back. I'm not going to listen. I won't be used of God. I'm not going to listen. You can't go in. You can't see Him now. You can't be used by Him. I'm not going to listen to that. Because Jesus never said it. Lord, I ask that you would restore, refresh and renew in the name of Jesus. That as we walk from this place, new life would be birthed. New life would be expressed. New ideas, new thinking would be expressed, Father. Father, make us wise men and women that we will not be taken. In Jesus' name, thank you for coming for us, Lord.